Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is our epistle lesson from Galatians chapter 3. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is our text. I know many don't receive the newspaper anymore. I know my wife has it online. She receives it and reads it over her phone as we try to keep up with the news that way. But one of the best parts of the newspaper that I always liked, and it's harder to gather over the wire, is the comics. Some are worth taking the time to share with others right away. When you read through them, you can't wait and read the rest of them. You have to share that comic, that joke, right away. It's interesting, though, how long it takes for some people to catch the humor of the joke, to understand the punchline, to gather in all that is being said so that it becomes a joke that they comprehend and understand. At times there's a little groan as they finally get the comic. Sometimes just a shake of the head. It's always more exciting when the other person catches and is able to say, "Oh, I get it." When they understand the joke. And that's the power of the joke. Do you get the punchline? Do you get the wordplay that makes the joke work? Do you get the little twist that makes that joke funny? I get it. You just have to get it if you are to appreciate the humor. The Apostle Paul was having a hard time with the Galatians. He writes to them in this letter that we have as our epistle lesson for today. They didn't seem to get it. However, it was not a punchline that they were having trouble with. No, it was something much more serious than the punchline to a joke. They were struggling with how to approach God. What does the law do? What is so important about Jesus? There's nothing funny about this problem either. No laughing matter for them when they would finally get it. The Galatians' salvation was at stake. And they didn't seem to get it. That's why Paul is writing these words that we have in our lesson for today. When Paul was first there in person, they did seem to get it. They understood. But now later, after Paul had been away for them for some time, they were getting it all mixed up again. No laughing matter here. You either get this right, or you suffer an eternity apart from God. Of course, it's not just the Galatians that need to get it, is it? We do too. We need to get it also. We need to have it sorted out in our own minds, in our lives, what work God's law does for us and what Jesus does when it comes to our salvation. So what does Paul say about the law? It takes no prisoners. It locks us up. It supervises us. But it does this not to be mean, not to be mad about it and bad to us, but to have us, as Paul says, to be able to look to Jesus, to see Christ. Whatever the law is doing that so it might bring us to Jesus. How? By giving us a clear and definite standard to tell us how we are doing. The law is clear. It's definite. Such a wall of profanity, and it's wrong. Use God's name improperly, and God is angry. No set of circumstances can change those facts. It's as black and as white. It is right or it is wrong. Fail to worship, and you know you have done wrong. Dishonor authority. Hurt someone. Think lustful thoughts. Look at pornography. Cheat, tell a lie. want something you shouldn't have. God's law is clear. God's law is definite. No way to warm out of it. No other interpretations are allowed. This is the standard. This is God's word. No other interpretations make it right. The commandments let you know what is right and what is wrong. Think of the law as a brick wall. I used to have a picture of that as I used in instruction classes, of a big brick wall, much taller than an individual standing beside it. And then if we add on to that then the ball and chain of sin that holds us too, how can you climb that wall to be able to get to the other side, to get to God? Impossible. No loose bricks, no way of climbing it. I know some of the superheroes of our day do those kind of things, but we cannot do those things. We cannot approach God by accessing the wall and reaching our God on the other side. It's immovable, just as God's law is immovable. What God says goes. No changing it, no getting around it, no loose bricks to play with. Either you are on his side of the wall or you are not on his side of the wall. God's law plays no favorites. It treats everyone alike. It simply stands there to tell us whether our thoughts, our words, particular thing we have done is acceptable to God or not acceptable to God. And when we are in the wrong, notice which side of the wall that leaves us on. The wrong side. That's the side of sin and death and hell. On the other side is God and life and heaven. That's the position that the law puts us in. It locks us up. It surrounds us with the wall of accusation. If you have traveled at night, especially in the country, I lived in the country for many years, you might remember again the many bugs and insects that your headlights attract to your windshield. Traveling on a warm summer evening, as you travel along, you might not notice those absorbed distractions that are there in the windshield, but when you pull into the rest area with all the floodlights that are there and it lights it up and you see all those nasty things on your windshield once again, you quickly notice how dirty the glass has become. The lights just show how many bugs, how many insects you have collected as you're driving down the highway. But when you pull away from those lights at the rest area, they seem to fall out and you don't notice them so much anymore as you're back on the highway and your headlights are showing the way out ahead. Perhaps for a while, we can fool ourselves about things being okay in our lives as well. We can try to hide from ourselves what you have done wrong. Keep it in the dark, so to speak. But sooner or later, the law is going to reveal to you those bugs and insects, those wrongs that you have done in your life, the way you have mishandled the law of God, the way you keep yourselves on the wrong side of the wall. We'll see just how much filth we have collected as we've journeyed down that road of life. It will highlight the true situation of our lives as you look at the law. Yes, the law does its work well. It tells us just what we have done wrong. And it does so with no mercy, no excuses allowed, no freedom given. It simply locks us up behind a wall of accusation and holds us prisoner. We can't get to God's side by trying to go around it or under it or over it. That wall stands and blocks us. Live by the law. Try to approach God on the basis of what you have done in your life, and you are left on the wrong side forever, looking up with sin and death and hell. Do you get it? Paul writes to the Galatians, and so he wants us too to get it. There's no hope, no future in the law, only accusation and prison. Do not go that route when you want to be on God's side of the wall. It doesn't work. You can never do enough or not do enough bad to be able to get over that wall. The most you can do is bang your head up against the wall that is immovable. Yet the law doesn't want to leave us with accusation and prison and being bound. Instead, Paul says it wants to lead us to the accusations that lead us to the love of Christ. Just a few verses after our text, Paul writes, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. You see, Jesus is the only one that cannot be accused. Jesus is the only one who came into this world and did the law perfectly. He drove down the road of life without a simple bug in his life, without a simple insect dirtying his windshield. Each day, Jesus lived under the same standard that we do. Each day, the law showed him what was right, what was wrong. And each day, the law could not lock him up, couldn't hold him prisoner. There was nothing the law could do to bind him. He was free. No need to escape. He was already on the right side of the law. But he wouldn't stay there. He was born to redeem us, to bring us back from God's prison that had entrapped us because of the sin that we have done. So he took the law's accusation. He took the punishment that the law handed out that was supposed to be for us, the sin and death and hell on our side of the wall. He took it all to himself and gave us a way out of this mess. And when he did, he broke a hole in that wall for us to go through that wall. He made a door for us to enter into the hope and life in heaven of God's side of the wall. And that door is in the shape of a cross. The law can lead us to Christ. It can show us just where we stand because of our sin. It can accuse us. It can sentence us to death. But most of all, it wants us to lead us to that door. To lead us to the door that shows us the way of salvation in Jesus Christ through the cross. Most of all, it wants us to go to that door. Its work is over because then Jesus takes over for us. He reaches out to give us faith. He reaches into our lives to pull us through to the other side, to the side of heaven with our God. Paul tells the Galatians that when they became baptized into Christ, they put on all that he had done for them. And again, there are no favorites. Grace is for all. God's mercy in Jesus Christ through that cross, that door through that wall, is open for all. The door is wide open for all who have faith and walk through. Church is a small congregation in Africa. A child is plunged into water in a local river. The door is open. The supervision of the law is over for that child. And a son is on the right side of the wall. Now another church. Here the baptismal font is large and ornate. Parents bring forward a daughter that is dressed for the occasion. Water rolls off her forehead. The prison doors swing open once again. Now we're in a hospital. The man is old. Death is not far away. All his life has been lived on the wrong side of the wall. But now he says he wants to be baptized. The Holy Spirit has been working in his life. So many years spent avoiding the threshold to go through that door, that opening of the cross of Jesus into heaven. And now that moment comes. Yes, only for a few hours in his life is he free from the law's accusations. But now he is free, oh so free. And he walks through that cross-shaped door with Jesus. Do you get it? God so wanted the Galatians to get it that he had Paul write this letter to this congregation. He poured his heart and soul into getting them back to Jesus and the faith that is given to them through their baptism, the faith that the Holy Spirit working in them leads them to that door of Jesus Christ. Do you get it? There's no laughing matter here. This is life and death. Nothing like the comic strips of the newspaper. Nothing like getting the punch and joke. This is your salvation at stake here. This is being on the right side of the wall. The law will lock you up. It will lead you to the door. But only Jesus can bring you through to the other side. Only Jesus. Only Him. Do you get it? I hope so. I certainly hope so. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. May this peace of our God, which continues to surpass our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in that faith in Jesus Christ and to life everlasting. Amen.